might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Heavenly Father, again in prayer, just ask for your blessings now on the message today. Bring to remembrance and to my mind, Lord, those things you've spoken to me about already. And as we said earlier, Lord, I pray this will be an encouragement to those that are saved. And Lord, that you draw anyone that's lost to yourself today here and see them be saved today. We put it into your hands. Help us be aware of your presence here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We were singing that song that the choir sang, and it's talking about the life, his life in me. Man, I was thinking about it. I about lost it right then. I didn't know I was going to keep on singing. His life in me, man, that's a powerful thought right there. I'm going to hopefully touch on that just a little bit this morning. The title of the message is Having Life. Having Life. And we're in this chapter, as a matter of fact, in our Sunday school class that Brian teaches. And we had just got past that verse last week, which had no bearing whatsoever on me preaching on this. It's just the way that God laid it on, you know, on me to got to thinking about this. And this is where I ended up. And it didn't really, it's probably not going to talk about anything much that we talked about in Sunday school hour, I don't believe, there. But I want to speak about that topic about having life. You know, Easter's fast approaching. Man, it's going to be here before you know it. I think the 17th of April is Easter Sunday. And, you know, we start thinking about Easter every year, and most of us have been saved any amount of time, or even whether you haven't been saved any amount of time. Most of us all our life, we kind of knew about or know about what Easter is all about, what it's talking about. You know, that Jesus was crucified, and as we know a little bit deeper, we understand that he took our place on the cross, and he died for our sins. He paid the penalty, or paid the price for our sins, and so that we could have forgiveness, that we could have eternal life, that we could have a home in heaven, that we could avoid being, damned to hell. I mean, we understand that all that took place, all that's the true stuff, and we're aware of that. But I want to tell you today that there was a whole lot more going on the cross than just that right there. Even though as important as all that is and as big as all that is, there's some deeper things that were taking place when Jesus died on the cross. And we see in our text right here, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." And, you know, we might think about that. When you make that statement, have life, well, you say, well, you know, preacher, don't we have life already? As a matter of fact, you know, some of you might have to check your pulse just a little bit to see, but we're breathing, we got a pulse, we're living, you know, so we see that we have life. But, you know, I want to talk about what Jesus is particularly talking about, looking about that, about what kind of life or having life or what kind of life that we have. And so we think about that. The very first point I want to talk about, you know, in the topic of what kind of lives are there, we know one, that there's the cursed life. There's the cursed life. You know, when Adam sinned, Adam and Eve, of course, both sinned, but Adam sinned, the curse of sin, and of course, a lot of things that took place. I mean, his eyes were opened, and all of a sudden, he knew the difference between good and evil and right and wrong. And so what happened there, you know, the one thing that God told them not to do, they did it just like a kid. The one thing that they shouldn't have done, eat of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, not to eat of that, and they did that. Their eyes were opened, and then they knew what sin was. And so what happened? Sin entered into the world. The curse of sin entered into the world. And what happened was Adam, the first Adam, we inherited that. They were the parents of mankind, so to speak. We inherited all a sin nature from Adam. We inherited that. That's what is passed down to us. So see, we're living right now apart from Jesus Christ. The only life that man lives, and we see the effects of it in the world today, is living a cursed life. And so, you know, and that curse includes a lot of different things. One of them was there was spiritual death all of a sudden. You know, they never knew. Adam and Eve, you think about it. You know, they say, well, in the Bible, boy, they were naked. And you know what? They didn't. There was no embarrassment. There was no lust. There was no, you know, evil thought because sin wasn't in the world. I mean, they didn't even know what naked was. I mean, it was just the way it was. That's the way you were. You know, you just were there. As here they were, and now this knowledge came in, and all of a sudden, what they lost so much. There was a spiritual death that was separated from God because of sin, as far as fellowship goes and communion with God goes. They never knew that. Can you imagine being in such a state of communion with God, that the communion that they had in the perfect environment that they lived in? And then all of a sudden, and see, we have a hard time relating to this, because we grew up out of communion with God, basically, until salvation. And now that we're saved, we don't always stay in solid fellowship with God because of our flesh. You know, we fight in that. But they didn't know that. They had this perfect communion with God, probably more perfect than you and I have had, even in our Christian experience. And all of a sudden, they lost it. Can you imagine what an empty hole? You know how you have an empty hole in your heart sometimes? Well, they had never had an empty hole in their heart. And man, they had one now. Can you imagine how that felt to them? I mean, it was a shock. I mean, it was shocking that when they lost fellowship and communion with God. Now, if you saved any amount of time and you've really had a close walk with the Lord before and you get away from God, you feel it. You know what it's like. But boy, just multiply that about 100 times and you can feel what they felt when they lost sin. So we have broken fellowship there. That awareness of sin that came that I spoke about, all of a sudden they knew that there was right and there was wrong. I mean, they didn't, you know, good and evil. They, you know, evil, that was like, it's probably a new word. They didn't know what that was. They didn't know what evil was. And then not only did that happen to man, but then all of a sudden the earth was cursed as well. They lived in the Garden of Eden. Man, they tended the garden in that. But man, they had, I bet you, the best fruit, the best vegetables, the best environment. Man, I bet it was perfect. It was a perfect thing. And all of a sudden now the earth was cursed. And you study the Bible, there you find out heat and cold. You know how like we've been experiencing that here lately, you know, 61 one day, snowing, and 18 or whatever, 19 this morning, blowing snow, heat and cold, the seasons things, and the earth, and briars and thistles and thorns. And you know what? I was thinking about that. Those thorns that Jesus wore, part of the curse of the land on his head when he was crucified. They made a crown of thorns that didn't exist before the earth was cursed. That was bearing the curse on his head symbolically and in actuality, because he died for us. Just thought I'd throw that in there, a little thought there. And then the Bible says, now man would earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. I bet they didn't even sweat. I bet they didn't sweat in the garden. I bet the environment was such, the humidity level was perfect, which ain't around here in the summertime, I can tell you that. The humidity level was perfect. And he didn't have to do that much tend the garden. I bet he never busted a sweat. Now it said you're going to earn, eat your bread by the sweat of your brow. That four-letter word work. That was part of the curse. That came up on the earth as well. And then there was this physical death, the aging process. Man, I found one of our old tracks. It was in my office at home. There's a little basket up there. There's one of the old tracks we used to have. Back when I used to have a mustache, it's kind of like that picture that's on the wall out there. Might have to update that thing. Man, didn't have a gray hair on my head. Huh? Didn't have that. I was thinking about my mom. I remember my mom. My mom had real dark, real thick hair. Kyle got that gene from her, probably real thick, dark hair. And then when I was a teenager, you know, there was just starting to get them little itty bitty hairs, the grays in there. And then, you know, as time, you're around somebody all the time, you don't notice it as much. And then I grew up, moved away, and we were married. We lived up in Northern Virginia, and we only got to go down and see my parents a couple times a year, and I'd come in. And I remember one time I came in from being outside, Mom. It was in the evening, and Mom was in the Lazy Boy. She done fell asleep. And I walked in, and it's one of them moments where you look at somebody and you just say, man, you know, her hair was just all gray. Wasn't a dark hair on her head. It was just all gray. And, it just hit me that my mom had aged a lot. She was up near getting near 80 about that time. You see, even in my own self, I shared with you, one day I came in from hunting, had my hunting outfit on, my hat, and I got to the back door, and there was my reflection in the glass. Good night. I looked at myself, you know, I hadn't shaved that morning, had them old white whiskers was sticking out, and the sun was getting on them, and I could see myself. I said, man. You know, what happened? I mean, we start aging, and then our skin starts getting wrinkly. Now, I cut myself seriously. What happened to you? I said, I don't know. I ain't got an idea, just bleeding, you know, I don't know what happened. But your skin gets like thinner or something, it just cuts, you bang it into anything. You know, we get other disease. Disease came under the earth. This is a cursed life. We got disease, all kind of things. Cancer, talking about cancer with Graham. Cancer cells. Cancer is when cells mutate. That means that the cells, our very cells in our body, have been affected by the curse that came on the earth when sin entered in the world. Cancer cells, all kind of disease and sickness, viruses we're dealing with right there. All that, arthritis, pain, sorrow. I don't believe Adam and Eve knew what, they didn't know what sorrow was before curse. The earth was cursed. They didn't have any sorrow. What would they be sorry about? They have sorrow. And then death. Just death itself. We eventually die. Then we look at the world that we're living, the cursed world, the cursed life that people live on the earth right now. Look at the world that we live in today, the world of sin. Look what's happening in Ukraine. They said they're burying people in body bags. Just got to dig. Here it is. Your wife or your husband died. You can't even, there's no way to get them in a marked grave. You got to put them in a mass grave along with they putting them in body bags, most of them, and putting them down in the thing, and they're just buried in there with a bunch of other people. That's it. That's all they can do. We see what's going on. Kids being killed. Children. Hospitals being bombed. Rape. Women are being raped. Hospitals bombed. And like I said, people trying to get dialysis and all those things going on, wickedness going on in the world, and it's a complicated mess. And then we look around everywhere, drugs, alcohol, prostitution, human trafficking. We saw on TV, they said Roanoke's one of the top 8 places in the United States for human trafficking. Yeah, that's what we said. Right under your nose. Incest, child abuse, murder, hatred, lovelessness, no compassion, lies, deceit, robbery, immorality, cursing, strife, and then you die. Then you die. That's the cursed life right there. This is the cursed life. Jesus said, listen, but I have come that they might have life, life more abundantly. This is it. And you know what? You know how it's like that old analogy about putting a toad in a hot water. Like if you throw him in a hot water pot, he'll hop out. But if you turn the heat up real slow, the cursed life is we grow up in this thing and we live our life through it. You know what? We get used to it. Like old Vance Havner said, getting used to the dark. We listened to that message, David, going out to Colorado. Getting used to the dark. You know, when you first turn the lights out, you can't see that good. You kind of notice it. But after a while, your eyes just get used to the dark. We've just gotten used to it. It's every day. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in another section of this thing here in just a minute. But then that's the cursed life. Well, then we see also there's the crucified life. The crucified life. Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I love that verse. I write all them little woodworking doodads I make. I put Galatians 2:20. I write it on the back of that. Somebody might look that up right there and see that. That's just the verse I chose to put on there. And I started thinking about that more and more. So when Jesus came, he said, I came that they might have life. I already told you what happened when the first Adam came. Jesus is referred to in the Bible as the second Adam. When the second Adam got here, the representative man, when he came with a different inheritance than what Adam left with us. In the first Adam, we inherited the cursed life and then death. And in the second Adam, we see Jesus, through him, we inherit the abundant life, eternal life, the blessed life. And all who believe, and I mean by believing in Jesus, that means trusting him, loving him, obeying him, following him. They share in his life, this life of Christ. This is the life that we actually share of. And that's why I was thinking when we sang, you know, his life in me, his life in me. This is the, getting around to the Well, it'll get around to the Christ life, but we're in the crucified life. This crucified life, his life, Jesus' life in us, it includes everything about Jesus, and including the crucified life of Jesus. And this is a little bit deeper stuff than just what we understood about. I mean, I know about Jesus dying on the cross when I was a kid. I didn't know about salvation, though. I just knew about, I knew about Jesus dying on the cross, and I knew about the resurrection and all that, but I didn't know what all, and I even might have known that somewhere along the way I knew that he was dying for the sins of the world, but I didn't know about this Christ life thing. I'm going to tell you what, it took me years to learn this. It took me years to learn this, to see this and really understand it, start to understand that. But when Jesus took, you know, we said, well, he took our place on the cross. That was our cross, the representative thieves that were crucified with him. That was our place on the cross. Yet the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. See, this is the part, you know, you go back to Romans 6, 7, and 8, right along in there, you read those chapters there. And he said, reckon yourself dead with Christ. We're sharing in his life, we're sharing in his crucifixion too, I guess. Get it simple as I can get it. When you share in Jesus' life, then you share in his crucifixion also. The old man. That's who's crucified with Christ. That cursed man. That's who was crucified with Christ. That's what that means. You know, because Jesus doesn't reform us. He kills us. That's it. He didn't say, listen, I'm going to take this old body and I'm just going to make what you got better. No, that's not what Jesus does. A lot of people think that, and that's how come they fail. But what he does, he kills that old man. He crucifies that old man. And then he gives us a new heart. He gives us a new mind. He gives us a new life. And now all of a sudden, not only that, it's not even our life. It's not our life. It's Jesus' life in us. He puts his life in us. See, in my mind, I was already thinking for years, well, I got a new life, my life. Oh, I failed all the time. It's nearly not my life, it's his life. He's living in me. The life that I now live is his life living in me. In other words, whatever Jesus would have done, this is as simple as it gets. Whatever Jesus would have done while he lived on the earth and walked on the earth, now he's going to do it in me. Huh? That's you, that's it. Now, I'm going to tell you what, your will's involved. I'll get to that in a minute. Your will, your surrender and all that is involved because we still got to deal with that old dead body that we're dragging around, the flesh. We still have to deal with that. But he doesn't reform us. He kills us, and he gives us a new life. We share in his resurrection. I'll get to that. But right now, I'm still on, we're sharing in his crucifixion. You know, you can't have a resurrection until you have a crucifixion. You got to die before you can be raised to life. You got to die. That's just the way it is. And so, when John preached in Revelation, later on in Revelation, he said this, he saw Jesus as a lamb as it had been slain. He saw Jesus this way. This was Jesus now. Jesus, he'd already seen him glorified. Remember the first part of Revelation? Saw his hair like wool, eyes like fire, feet like brass. He was glorified. But he also, and later on in Revelation, he said, I see Jesus, I see him on a throne as a lamb as it had been slain. Which means that Jesus is still carrying the scars of the crucifixion in heaven. Now you'd think, why? So you'll remember this. So you'll know. This is the crucified life. He's got the marks are still in heaven. He's still got those. He didn't get rid of those with the glorified body. He bears those scars, lest we forget. The crucified life means this right here. It's not only an inner spiritual truth, it's an actual practical experience, the crucified life is. And this is where, and this don't get preached much. It's not, because it's not popular. This doesn't get preached, but we think about this world that we live in our flesh. I probably got this out of place on my notes, but I'll give it to you now. Our flesh is attracted to this world because it's worldly. The flesh is worldly. It's attracted to it. And this world, this is the world that hated Jesus. This world that said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And this world is what nailed Jesus to the cross. And the world doesn't care any more about you than it did Jesus. The world took those two thieves. And listen, I'm not saying there's never a cause for the death penalty. I think we need the death penalty. I believe that. But I'm going to tell you what the world wants to do anyway with it, with anybody. If the world doesn't agree with, the world doesn't like, the world doesn't, and I'm going to tell you what, Christians, y'all get in this mindset too sometimes. The world doesn't like or doesn't agree with, they don't want to fool with, they just said, listen, just crucify them and get rid of them. That's what they did for them two thieves right there. They just took them and hung them up on an old cross. I don't know how much thieving they'd done. Maybe they'd been arrested before. I don't know. Maybe they'd been thieving. They just wouldn't quit, and they finally said, we're going to kill you, but who knows? But that's what the world wants to do. The world don't care about you. Don't care. Just kill. Listen, here's people that's bothering us. Let's just crucify them. Let's just get them on out of the way. Let's throw them away. Ball them up and throw them away. This is the world that we live in. So here's the question. When we think about the crucified life, what is your relationship to this world? What's your relationship? Paul said the world was crucified to him and he was crucified to the world. Right there he said, you know what, I don't have nothing else to do with it. I don't have nothing to do with the world, and the world is crucified to me and I'm crucified to the world. Now we know about, you know, of course the Bible teaches us this all along the way. We understand about obvious sins that we shouldn't do, right? Well, you know, you shouldn't do, don't lie, don't steal, you know, don't commit adultery, don't, you know, a zillion other things that you shouldn't do. We've got those things right there. But what about this right here? What about our relationship to the world? What about being friends with the world? Now, you know, that's a sin too. That's a sin. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Not to love the world, right there. But what happens is we find in Christianity a lot of times what people do is they want to enjoy just as much of the world as they can get away with without totally separating from it, or live as close to the world, like old Samson. He lived just as close to the edge of the world as they can live and still call themselves a Christian. You know, because we get this mindset that the world, the lie that Satan spreads and puts in our life, you know, in our mind about, you know, that we shouldn't deny ourselves. Man, there's a whole philosophy like that. Little kids, remember? When I was a little kid, listen, man, you went out there and played football. If your team won, you got a trophy. If you didn't win, you didn't get nothing. The coach wouldn't even stop off at the hamburger joint on the way home, man. You didn't get a cheeseburger. Now everybody got to have a trophy. Everybody gets a little participation trophy just because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And let little Johnny, we're going to mess him up for life because he didn't get something, you know, because he failed and we didn't get to recognize that or, you know, whatever they do. This is a whole philosophy. Self-denial is a... it's a bad word. We want to, you know, just look at us. Man, I mean, we don't deny ourselves nothing. We don't deny our stomach nothing. That anything it's whining for, we put in there. Everything we got to satisfy every cry of the flesh all along the way. And this philosophy of self-denial. Have you died to the world? That's the question that was asked in a meeting I was at. Or is the world dead to you? That's what the crucified life really is. Listen, this world is an enemy of us. This world out here, it's an enemy. It throws, and I know Satan's behind it, but this world throws everything it can at us to rob us of our joy, to corrupt our mind, to pull us away from God in every single... It's like you almost got to have blinders on. But I'm going to tell you, a dead man, he don't have any response to anything that he's... I was watching a TV commercial. Honestly, this is right on regular TV. I can't even tell you what it was. I told Sherry what it was. I said, you wouldn't believe what they're advertising on TV. Using words that we wouldn't have used on public television not that long ago. The imagery, you know, woman didn't have hardly nothing on. It's on a regular commercial, for Pete's sake. I mean, you think, oh, well, you know, I'm not watching none of that bad stuff on the internet. I'm telling you what, it's just like you can't, it's everywhere. It's an attack. It's an attack on your mind. television, internet, social media, TikTok. I'm going to tell you what, ain't a Christian alive ought to have TikTok on her phone. You may have it. I'm telling you what, you shouldn't have it. Is there a woman on there that owns a dress or a top? Something that don't look like their underwear? Is there a picture of a woman on there with her clothes on, hardly? I mean, how do you know? Because these stupid things pop up on my phone, I don't even want them. It's an advertisement for TikTok. It's like, get rid of that junk. Just get rid of it. It's like, you can't, all that stuff, it's an assault on your senses. Don't tell me it doesn't affect you. See, you see one thing, then you want to see something else. And then you got to look, they position everything to get your interest in finding out what it's about. Well, I just want to see what's going on, you know. It's all by the world is attacking us spiritually. Sex, nudity, men and women, it ain't just the women, it's men too. No modesty. There's no modesty anywhere. So we have this visual and spiritual attack against us every day. That's what the world does to us. It's not our friend. The world is not our friend. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're loving the world, you are loving the enemy. You've got to be crucified to those things. That old man. And this is our problem. The old man, the flesh likes. That's why the Bible says take up your cross daily. Because that old flesh likes that stuff. It's attracted to it. It just draws. And when we allow the flesh to have its way, the spirit cannot operate in that light. It just can't. He can't. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The converse is true. If you fulfill the lust of the flesh, you cannot walk in the Spirit. That's probably the major problem with Christianity today. The powerlessness of the Christian lives is that we're walking in the flesh and we're not walking in the Spirit. Boy, I'm glad y'all are in an amen and mood today. Jesus on the cross overcame the world, and when you trust in Him, He makes you an overcomer too. That's how, it's His life, right? If He's living His life, I mean, really think about it. If Jesus is living His life in us, and He is if you're saved, and if you're following, like I say, your will's involved, it is. Would Jesus look at half the stuff we look at? Would He say half the things we say, listen to half the things we hear, react and act the way we do if Jesus was doing it? We get to the next point, it's the Christ life. Paul said, not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's His life. Now I'm going to see, here's the deal. We can't do it. We can't do it, but Jesus can. We can't do it. It's just, we just can't. How do you know? Because we've been trying. We've been trying our whole Christian life. We can't do it. Now, Jesus lives in us, and it's His life, not ours. But what kind of life does Jesus live? Jesus lives the crucified life. That's the life that He lived. And now, you know, the crucified life makes us free from the power of sin. Here's the biggest thing. It's probably simpler. I'll get it simple for you. Before we got saved, we knew what right and wrong was, but we had no power to do right. Not all the time. Now we know what right and wrong is. We still have an option here, but we have the power. We have the power over sin now. Sin does not have to have dominion over us. We can break. We can be obedient. He lives a crucified life, free from the power of sin. Our will's involved. But like I say, now we have that power. In Christ's life, Jesus said this, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will. But that means that Jesus in His humanity had a will that might have been opposite to God the Father's will. He said, not my will. He asked about that cup. He said, you know, if it was possible to remove that cup, that He wouldn't have to go to the cross. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That means that on that human side, there was another will that was working right there, but See, he had a crucified life. And now he did God the Father's will and not his will. This is where we got to get to. This is what happened on, this is really what the cross, what happened to the, after salvation, as far as everything being paid for, this is what happens. That we have this life, the life of Jesus living in us. Philippians 2, 5, and 8. Look what here. Here's what the mind of Christ, this is what it says what's in the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the mind of Jesus right there. And I shared with you what Ron Lynch said. This preacher said to him one time, he said, you know, the guy looked at everybody and said, when did you die? When did you die? See, it's really, when Jesus died on the cross, we die, but we don't know it. We got to reckon that. We got to reckon it. We got to realize this is what happened. That's what the cross is really about. That's the Christ life. The Bible tells us that God is love, and that love seeketh not her own. That means it seeks not its own will. That's the way love is. So we love God. We love God. And we seek not our will, but his. That's the Christ life. That's the life that Jesus came to give. This is the life. Listen, the abundant life. The fulfilled life. The satisfied life. That's what he's talking about. We can look in the world right here that we live in. We can look all around at what's going on in the world right now. And that's what man has made. That's what man has made. God didn't make that. No. There was Adam and Eve, buddy, and I mean, that they started having kids, and guess what? And one of them run off. One of them killed his brother and run off, and he started living his own life apart from God. And, buddy, there's a whole society got raised up apart from God, and you're seeing the results of it today. Huh? Listen, why? Because man can't do any better than that. That's the best. There's people out there that believe that society's going to get better and better and better. We're just getting smarter and smarter and smarter. And we're just going to get, you know, just some of that. I'm going to tell you what, man, a blind man can see this isn't working out, right? So this life that we see, and what's, listen, what was our philosophy for building our life? What was it based on? Get an education, work hard, make money, put it in the bank so you got retirement. You know, and then when you, and then guess what? And then you're going to retire and you're going to live X amount, and then you're going to die. That was man's philosophy. And have all the fun that you can have along the way. But it gets pretty shallow and gets pretty empty pretty fast. Right? But that's man's philosophy. Now, some of those things, they're not bad things of themselves. It's good to get an education. It's good to work hard. I think you ought to work hard. If you don't work hard, I don't think you ought to eat. But what we see in society is a result of life apart from God. Is this the abundant life, the satisfied life that we're living? Huh? How we like it? No, that's not what he's talking about. And Jesus said, listen, I'm going to come take care of that for you. Now, he said, I have the abundant life, that you can have life, real life. Man couldn't do it. We can't do it in our own self. I know we think we're smart and we can. Jesus said, no, you can't do it. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to crucify you along with me, and I'm going to live my life through you. That'll be the best life. You'll never live a life as great as what Jesus can live through you. It'll be a failure. Everything you hold, it'll be a failure. It will be a failure. It'll always be a failure, preacher? Yeah. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you invent a cure for cancer. I don't care if you take care of this Russian thing over there and everything, and we got gas at 10 cents a gallon. And you die without Christ, let me tell you something, your life is going to be a failure. You won't be satisfied with that. You will not be happy with that. He said, I came to give the abundant life. Having life, that's the life that Jesus wants to have. Let me ask you this. If you're not saved, do you want that life? You can have that life. It's all you have to do is ask. You know, say, hey, listen, Jesus, I'm going to give you my life. I'll tell you what, because it ain't worth much. I'm going to give you my life, and you can have that life. And you think, oh, listen, this is where the Bible says with God all things are possible. It's possible. Oh, it's a possibility. He can transform your life. When he comes and lives in you, boy, what a difference. Amen.